God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I worked in a hotel. Actually had a hotel and a motel. Pretty amazing guy. He was an immigrant to the country, came from China. And he hired me. His name is Bob. That was not his real name, but his Americanized name. And he came from China. And he and his family lived in this little tiny motel for a long time in the office. He had three daughters and a wife. And eventually they got to move into a home. And I got this story from his daughter, who I just adored. And I wanted to date her, and she laughed. She said, "Oh, my dad would never allow me to date a white person, and certainly not someone who works for him, and certainly not someone who's not in college. No way. He would never allow it." I asked her, "Would you allow it?" She said, "Oh, I'd go out with you, but no, my dad would freak. He'd fire you." And I used to work these sometimes 3 and 4 8-hour shifts. And I needed the money. Bob knew that. He let me graduate from being a guy who cleaned rental cars to working behind the desk and then ultimately kind of running the hotel when he was gone. And we had very interesting clientele. Sometimes we had prostitutes and we'd have to kick them out. Sometimes we had business people. There was a lady who came from mainland China, and Bob hid from her. Really interesting lady. Very well put together, very smart, and wanted to know a lot about the hotel and the family. But it was when the police would come by that I lost a bit of respect for Bob. Was sometimes we'd have prostitutes, sometimes we'd have drug deals. This was on it was in SeaTac. They later stole his property from him using eminent domain. They stole it, built a train, and then they built a hotel there after they stole it from Bob. And when the police would come by and ask Bob questions, he would pretend he couldn't speak English. So he would confirm his American name, Bob, and I won't say his last name. And then he would pretend that he didn't speak English. So he would ask me to answer the questions. And I'd have to stand there and pretend that my boss didn't speak English. And I didn't know. I wasn't there when these things went on. I lost a lot of respect for him. But then I remembered this. When that lady from mainland China came in, she paid with an Optima card. That's an American Express card with no limit. It was the second one I'd ever seen in my life. My godfather had one. And second time I'd ever held one in my hands. And I remember that her leather jacket was super shiny. I remember, she's very pretty. Oh, but this, I remember that she came in a limousine. That never happened at our hotel. It wasn't a cab, it was a limo. And I remember that she rented out, we had some suites that were actually fairly nice, honestly. And she rented out the block of suites. Bob didn't talk to her either. He disappeared. And when detectives would come in, he couldn't speak English all of a sudden. Why am I saying this all? Bob inserted needless complexity. Well, I can't help the detectives. I don't speak English. And when someone came from mainland China to, I think, investigate him, he flat disappeared because he knew where the power lay. Flat disappeared. Elon Musk and President Trump are breaking a code. They're breaking the code that we're helpless with government. Waste, fraud, abuse, yeah, it's abuse. Oh, it's super bad. We got to do something. Someone should do something. What about you? Oh, well, it's... they're speaking a language they're not supposed to be able to speak because they've gotten access to the language books they're not supposed to have access to. These are the real sets of books. We only provide you with summaries. I had a friend of mine who attended a church that would publish the financials in summary. I said to him, have you ever asked to see the full financials? Well, I'm sure they'd show them to me. Okay, go ask. They didn't. We'll handle that. You don't need to know. But I tithe. Yep, you don't need to know. We're not going to show you. That church collapsed about 3 years later. People don't hide what they're proud of. They don't obscure what they're proud of. And in the federal government, the business has been obscuring. So they do things like not include what the money was for. So if you're going to do a financial audit and you're going to look through the books of a company, you might want to know, hey, what's that payment for? Oh, we don't know. But it's $12 million. Yeah, we don't know what it was for. Well, how do we know if that was legal? Oh, gosh, I guess we don't. I was talking to a financial advisor the other day, actually a trust lawyer. My wife and I are thinking about putting a property in a trust. And I said to this guy, could I construe this as a business expense? And he laughed, no. I go, but all this income comes from my business, and no. No, don't try that. No, you have to call this what it is. This is a personal trust you're setting up. Don't even try it. What if we leave it blank? Well, you can't do that. Try it with the IRS sometime. Try it. Where did you get this money? I don't know. Just showed up. Who gave it to you? Don't know. Do you have any curiosity? Not really. It's just money. That's been the way of things. God is a God of order, not chaos. What happens in Washington, D.C. isn't just chaotic because there's incompetence. Chaos allows the hiding of fraud. Elon Musk asked a question anyone who pays attention to government has asked.
And also, could you mention some of the things that your team has found, some of the crazy numbers, including the woman that walked away with about $30 million?
Right.
Et cetera.
Well, we do find it sort of rather odd that there are quite a few people in the bureaucracy who have ostensibly a salary of a few hundred thousand dollars, but somehow manage to accrue tens of millions of dollars in net worth while they are in that position, which is, what happened to USAID. We're just curious as to where it came from. Maybe they're very good at investing, in which case we should take their investment advice, perhaps. But they seem to be mysteriously, they get wealthy. We don't know why. Where did it come from? I think the reality is that they're getting wealthy at the taxpayer expense. That's the honest truth of it.
Hey, where'd you get that money? Oh, I don't know. There's no from line. To a treasury official, what was this money for? We don't know. But it's $12 million. Beats us. See, God is a God of order, not chaos. We're to steward funds wisely. You probably know these things better than I do. So here we have judges. And judges are coming along and saying, you know what? We recognize that President Trump is the duly elected head of the executive branch and the military. But he has no executive powers. None. Watch and see what happens with the FEMA CFO he's fired and the inspector general. I predict they're going to sue to try to get their jobs back. And I predict there are judges who will say, yep, put them back in place. Why would I say that? Because of this ridiculousness. A judge has ordered the CDC, FDA, and Health and Human Services to restore websites that were deleted to comply with an executive order from the chief executive of the executive branch. The chief executive of the executive branch, duly elected by the American people, has said the government's going to stop pretending that men are women. The Supreme Court has decided the federal government is out of the abortion business. So President Trump said, remove gender ideology from the pages of the CDC, the FDA, Health and Human Services, and remove these articles on abortion. Websites on abortion and where to go get abortions. That's at the state level. We don't do that in the federal government. A judge said, put them back. Sure, you're the duly elected chief executive of the country, and you are the indisputable chief executive of the executive branch, but you don't get to decide what goes on your websites. I do. That's a coup. That is an administrative coup. And some just personal note to these judges, you are ruining yourselves. You are destroying any remaining residue of respect for the judicial system. You are taking a huge risk of showing the American people, yes, you can re-elect Donald Trump after a rigged election, an election I think was stolen, after an attempt to destroy him through lawfare, after what sure seems like an attempt to get him killed, in fact, two attempts. But your votes don't matter. We, not you, not 74 million of you or whatever, you don't matter. I do, because I'm a judge from Rhode Island. They're precipitating a for-real crisis where President Trump may reach a moral standpoint where he is literally morally justified in saying, yeah, I'm not going to follow those rulings. That's a heck of a moment. They're precipitating the constitutional crisis. This is an issue of the executive branch within the executive branch, period. Now, why is this all happening? I do think there are people who take money out of the federal government as grift, as bribes. I don't think it. I know it. I've seen it. At what level? We don't know yet. They're trying to make sure we never know. But here's something we do know, is that there are agencies back there who refuse to be audited. And they make it impossible to audit them. A CBS explainer segment from 50 years ago exposed the sophistication of the CIA's money laundering schemes.
The key to CIA's current troubles is that unique American institution, the Tax-Free Foundation. Here is what happened. First, CIA itself set up a number of dummy foundations, calling them by impressive-sounding, if meaningless, names. Their sole function was to channel money from the CIA to a second kind of foundation. Now, these foundations were real. Some obscure, some well-known, all involved in legitimate philanthropy. But now, in addition, they agreed to become conduits for central intelligence, mixing up the government money with their own, and then passing it on to the ever-growing list of private organizations which, during the 40s, 50s, and 60s, were climbing aboard the CIA payroll. Let's take a closer look at those legitimate foundations which became CIA payout agencies. They are among the 15,000 charitable funds that have sprung up in America in response partly to the social consciences of the rich, partly to the structure of our tax laws. They are the operative arms of what has come to be called the American establishment, the power structure of moneyed families, august law firms, prestigious universities, which have had so much influence in shaping American life and national policy since World War II. CBS newsman Norman Glubach reports on some of the foundations which channeled money for the CIA.
This building is 73 Tremont Street, Boston. Just under it.
50 years ago. See what I said at the beginning of that segment? President Trump and Elon Musk have gotten access to a language base they're not supposed to have. We'll continue with a bit of this before we get into In the World and Not of It. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. In the last segment, let me just give people a rewind on this. Not a full rewind, but people tune in all the time to programs like this. We started by discussing the nature of God as a God of order and the way that God inserts order and that needless chaos is the tool of scoundrels. And I described a time our boss, I liked, he was a good guy, he worked me very hard, but he would lie when the police would come by and pretend he didn't speak English because he wanted to insert complexity. He was afraid of the police. He had good reason to be. It escaped communist China, after all. And then we went into how President Trump and Elon Musk have gained access to a language base they're not supposed to have. And it's the language of corruption. It's how the government hides corruption in chaos, in unaccountability, and in apparent incompetence. But incompetence by decision. So, for instance, when the Treasury decides, people in the Treasury decide to not demand to know, why are we giving this group $12 million? And they leave the payment reason blank. That's a decision. Anyone stewarding our money should say, oh, gosh, I can't pay that bill. It doesn't say what it's for. If you got a bill at home and a bill came in the mail, and you open it up and it says, remit here, $12,000, here's the address. Would you sit down and go, ooh, better write that check? Or might you go, wait a minute, what's this for? Well, it doesn't say, it just says send the money. Would you pay it? No. If you were walking around in a city and someone came up and said, hey, give me $12,000. What for? I'm not going to tell you. You'd think you're being robbed. Because you'd be being robbed. We're being robbed. So they gained access to this. Then we played a clip from 50 years ago on CBS News. They had this thing called the Explainer. And they took the time to explain how the CIA, 50 years ago, was laundering money through nonprofit organizations that we now call NGOs, non-government organizations. It's literal money laundering. That's what we're witnessing. And there are people arguing that we need to let the money laundering continue. There are pastors saying we need to let the money laundering continue. There are judges, subservient judges, district court judges saying, nope, you can't stop that. You have to continue to give money to unidentified people for unidentified reasons. It's ungodly to not steward money wisely. It's also par for the course. And it seeps all the way down into our Mockingbird media. I'll give you more examples of this. On the day that Tulsi Gabbard has been confirmed, National Intelligence Director, did you hear that? That happened a few hours ago. It's going to be interesting to see if Tulsi's for real. I think she served her country on her, but I know. I worry about her following a cult leader, but that hasn't affected her seemingly so far. But it'd be interesting to see if she's for real in calling out corruption, because, man, she can do that now. RFK Jr. still has not been confirmed, but they're going to bring closure on this. They're going to force a vote. RFK Jr. discussed the corruption of USAID.
There are riots, and it's called the Maidan Rebellion in Ukraine, which we're not told that we are financing those riots. The newspapers never told us, our government never told us. USAID, which is a CIA front, put $5 billion into funding those riots. Those riots lead to a coup d'etat against the first democratically elected government of the Ukraine. It was government that refused to choose sides and to say we're going to be on the side of the West. So we wanted them out. A month before that government is overthrown, Victoria Nuland, who's the centerpiece of neocon ideology and who is now a high-level official in the State Department, has a secret call with the U.S. ambassador, which is tape-recorded and is now public, which anybody can go and look up, where she is picking the new cabinet for Ukraine, which is you know, which is a U.S. Western cabinet. So they're picking the new government a month before the old government is overthrown.
Is that how democracy, is that democracy when Tory Newland picks your government?
Well, that's the point, is USAID doesn't really do, and the CIA don't do democracy. They, you know, the CIA has overthrown, I think, 83 governments between 1947 and 1997. That's a third of the governments on Earth, and most of them were democracies. Oh, it doesn't do democracy.
CIA used $5 billion of our money to do that. We are now far, far into this war. And we have people in the deep state like Mitch McConnell celebrating this because we get to buy new military equipment and refresh our stocks. That's ungodly. President Trump and Elon Musk have gained access to a language the bureaucrats don't want us to speak. It is the code of corruption. Here's how you get it done. Bags of money show up. No, literally. There was a guy that they discussed in the Oval Office who had a consulting contract for, what, he said 3 years? And it went on for 20? It was a three-year contract that ended, but they just kept paying him. Now, you could say that's blatant incompetence, and it is. It's also in a system where they don't say no to payments, even if the what's this for segment is left blank. What's it for? We don't know, but it's $12 million. Yeah, we still don't know, but we're paying it. If you did this as a family, a piece of mail shows up at your house, you owe $12,000, send it here now, and not a word about what it's for. You couldn't survive economically. But then again, you don't have the great business model that the government does, which is if they want more money, they take it. And corrupt judges want it to continue. President Trump is the duly elected chief executive of the executive branch, the commander-in-chief of the United States military. He is the boss over those organizations. The National Institute of Health is within the executive branch. President Trump has hired Elon Musk and his team to bring efficiencies to the government by examining spending, learning to speak the language of corruption. The National Institute of Health has been allowing colleges and NGOs, non-governmental organizations, the type that the CIA uses to launder money. They've been paying them, allowing them to take 60% of grant dollars for service fees to do studies. 60%. Elon Musk's team looked at the industry average for this and said, why are we, the government who provides the bulk of research dollars, paying 2 to 3 times the average rate? Why are we doing this? So they lowered the payment rate. After all, these are grants. These aren't paychecks. This isn't an hourly rate. This isn't withholding wages from a laborer, which we're not to do. The Bible says, do not withhold from a laborer his wages. These are grants. These organizations can sign up for these or not. A judge has said, no, nope, you don't get to do that. You, the executive branch, the chief of the executive branch, nope, you do not get to decide how much you pay colleges and NGOs to do studies. I do. I get to decide that. That's a judge from Massachusetts. I will decide. That's a coup. And I'll say again to these judges, you probably convince yourselves you're the good guys. You should go read about low trust societies and what happens, because at some point something breaks in people's minds. In a high trust society, people follow the law, not because they're afraid of going to jail for not following the law, but because everybody else follows the law. So they don't want to be weirdos. What, you break the law? Yeah. You guys are destroying the judiciary. It will lead to a low trust society. It will lead to a point where President Trump is morally justified to say, this is so egregiously wrong. It is so egregiously ridiculous. You are telling me that I The buck stops here, but no, it doesn't. While I'm in office, it stops at a judge's desk in Rhode Island or Massachusetts? No. I'm not going to follow that order. That's the constitutional crisis they want. And the Supreme Court should, right now, expedite these cases to their desks immediately. And they should have a broad order on this. President Trump is the chief executive of the executive branch. He has power over the executive branch unless he does something unconstitutional, like says to executive branch members, go take everybody's guns. Go put people in jail for speech. Oh, that's right. Biden did that. Sorry. He gets to do these things. I pray that John Roberts will do this to whatever degree he can, expedite these cases now. I think they know they're going to lose in court. That's not the point. The point is to slow down a peaceful transfer of power. That's what elections are. USAID funded Internews. Okay, that was an organization, Internews. The boss lady there, Jean Borjol, pushed for global advertising exclusion lists to censor what they decided was disinformation at the World Economic Forum.
Disinformation makes money, and we need to follow that money, and we need to work with particularly the global advertising industry, that a lot of those dollars go to pretty bad content. And so you can work really hard on exclusion lists or inclusion lists, or sort of really try to focus ad dollars and challenge the global advertising industry all around the world to focus their ad dollars towards the good news and information, the accurate and relevant news and information.
The good news, like stay home, stay safe, that puts the needle in its skin if it wants to work again. President Trump is a Russian plant, safest, most secure election in history, not a smidgen of corruption, and Elon Musk is a Nazi. You know, the good news. Meanwhile, your tax dollars taken from you by force are being used to prop up media companies, $50 million to the New York Times. The New York Times today wrote a long hit piece on Elon Musk, 6 byline reporters in this piece. As part of it, they said they don't understand where Elon Musk is coming up with these wild, insane claims. This is, Michael Schellenberger noticed this. It is 43 paragraphs into the New York Times hit piece on Musk. 43 paragraphs in. Listen to this. Mr. Musk has told administration officials he thinks they could balance the budget if they eliminate the fraudulent payments leaving the system, according to an official who discussed the matter with him. It is unclear what he's basing the statement on. The federal deficit for 2024 was $1.8 trillion. The Government Accountability Office estimated in a report that the government made $236 billion in improper payments, 3/4 of which were overpayments, across 71 federal programs during the 2023 fiscal year. But they have no idea where Elon Musk is getting the idea we could balance our budget by limiting fraud. That's the fraud the Government Accountability Office found, looking at government spending, not at USAID spending, or the spending of the various NGOs. They don't follow it down that far. Secondly, Elon Musk's explanation of how we can balance the budget includes eliminating that fraud, includes getting some of that money back, and includes no longer having the cost of $1.35 trillion in regulations, which can have the consequence of zero inflation, and then we see the balanced budget. The New York Times is making this needlessly complex, 43 paragraphs into that article. They disprove their own thesis. There's a lot of waste. What we're watching is the cracking of a code. And when codes get cracked, miraculous things happen. CNN highlighted a poll where 70% of Americans want to bar men from competing in women's sports. But they used a trick of language. They asked, should trans women be barred from competing with biological women? A bunch of people answered that question, thinking that trans women are women. So imagine what the results of this poll would have been had CNN said men competing against women rather than pretending there's such a thing as trans women.
So when you hear people say, this is how it should be, trans athletes have a competitive advantage over non-trans athletes, what do you say to them?
There's no evidence that trans athletes have an advantage over anyone else in sports. Trans athletes play sports for the same reasons as anybody else, for our love of the game, to be a part of a team, to challenge ourselves, and most of all, for the youth level, to have fun. And every young person deserves that opportunity to be their authentic self and to play the sports that they love without compromising any part of who they are.
That is a woman who pretends to be a man. CNN turned to a woman who pretends to be a man to have commentary on that. Incidentally, no women who pretend to be men are beating men in men's sports. That's weird. Maybe someone has an advantage. We'll come back on The Disciple's View. Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling and a personal note today. And just one thing. I got a bunch of emails and concern notes on YouTube and my Substack that I was censored yesterday. The end of the program. That wasn't the case. AFR would never do that. They would never ever do such a thing. If I were to violate God's law on this program, there's an audience of one. That's God. We seek to please him, a family of many, that's all of you, and us included. We follow the Bible. We are biblically strict here. If I were to violate that, I think I'd get a phone call from someone in management, maybe one of the Wildman family, said, dude, no. Probably a warning, and then after that, I would anticipate being tossed from the network if I continue to violate God's word. But no, they would never. Never censor me that way. And if they did, they'd come along and say, hey, he went off his rocker. They'd tell you. It was a tech error. That's it. That's all. Nothing nefarious. I promise you. And if it had been nefarious, I would speak out. I promise you. That would never be the case at this network. These people are godly people who would never, ever do such a thing. So please never think that on this air. And if it ever did happen, and it won't, I would tell you. Let's just get to that. We got to get to the Tower Babbling and personal. We got a lot of business to handle here. We've been talking about Elon Musk and President Trump getting access to a language base. That's what's happened with Doge. They've accessed a language base. It's the language of corruption. How do you get so much corruption in Washington, D.C.? Well, you go to the organization that pays all the bills, the Treasury, and you say to them, you pay every bill no matter what, and even if it doesn't say what it's for, you still pay it. Even if it's going to a group we know is fraudulent, still pay it. That's how you do it. Elon Musk was kind in his assessment and said, well, this is incompetence. And it's based fully upon satisfaction. People don't complain when they get money. They only complain when they don't. That's a kind assessment. To me, this is a system built to encourage fraud, just like our voting system has become that. But it's not just that. There's also this pattern recognition. The people who claim they're fighting for the Constitution are claiming that to fight for the Constitution means to take the chief executive of the executive branch and say, you no longer get to executive. You can say you're an executive, but you do not get to executive in the verbal sense. The tactical sense. You don't get to decide what you do with the money Congress gave you. even though Congress didn't say you have to do this with it, you don't get to decide. A judge in Rhode Island does. But there's also this pattern. One of the things that President Trump is flirting with doing is ending the Department of Education. Since the Department of Education was put into place and they started taking tax money from people, and if they want more money, they take more money, the result has been a decrease in academic performance of American kids. And it's a straight line. Money continues to skyrocket, learning is flatlined. So you have Democrats who are screaming, you can't get rid of the Department of Education. This is what's saving American schools. And you have situations like this. Democrat Senator Heidi Campbell called school choice an assault on the American dream. She went to private school. Her kids went to a private school.
This legislation is an assault on the American dream. And it looks like it's probably going to pass today.
An American dream in which you partook. Got it. Got it. There's a reason I don't say government school or public schools. I say government schools. See, they cracked the language code. Elon Musk and President Trump. Here's the language of corruption. This code has been cracked for a very long time in Washington State, the separate country of Washington State. So meet the separate country of Washington State Senate Majority Leader Jamie Peterson. What he says here, right here, this isn't the least bit controversial to Seattle's Mockingbird media.
Kids over 13 have the complete right to make their own decisions about their mental health care. Parents don't have a right to have notice. They don't have a right to have consent about that.
Their own mental health care. Oh, by the way, that translates into physical health. They have the right to go get an abortion, not tell you, but force you to pay for it. And then you get a bill from your insurance company, pay this or we'll cancel your insurance. What's it for? We can't tell you. Does that sound like the U.S. Treasury? Hey, what's that $12 million I'm paying for? Not going to tell you. Just pay it. It also includes, of course, transing kids, chemically and surgically mutilating them. Oh, and by the way, you get the implication here, right? If a kid at 13 has complete autonomy over mental and physical health decisions with their body, including abortion, that indicates that Jamie Peterson thinks they have complete and utter autonomy over their sexual decisions. That sounds a lot like a pedophile thinking. It's not a mistake, guys. It's a fallen country. Absolutely spiritually fallen. And I beg people, I'm giving a speech in Seattle next week. And yes, I will beg people, get your kids out of here. Because you morally, I think, have to do it. And if you can't, put on the Spirit of Christ every day, the armor of God every day, walk in the light of Christ, teach your kids. You live in Babylon. And yet there is a turning of the tide. Praise God, there's a turning of the tide. This is one of the reasons why Washington, D.C. is so panicked. Listen here to these women shred men competing in their sports.
I was permanently injured by that transgender athlete on the opposing side.
If that had happened to one of my daughters, I would feel terrible.
The fact that she was placed in that situation is egregious.
No single trans person has ever dominated any sport.
Stay in your lane. This is not it.
So that's just blatantly a lie.
No single trans person should ever dominate in a woman's sport.
The thing that never happens happened again.
I think it's not fair that boys are running against girls.
Men belong in men's sports and women belong in women's sports. It's really not complicated. It's not controversial. It's not rude. It's not bigoted.
Women deserve to be on top of the podium for women's sports.
I am so grateful to President Trump for putting action to his words.
And of course, these are actions now that I'm waiting for a judge to come along and say, you don't get to do that. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people, like these judges, on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The Tower of Babylon.
Is it a boy or a girl? It's a they by Lindsay Harriet. This book is all about welcoming a new baby into the family and not knowing how that baby will identify when they grow up. So we're not going to be assuming their gender.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. Beginning here, Representative Greg Cesar is raging against Elon working on FAA systems.
Elon Musk crashes and breaks everything he buys. He thinks he can buy our government. We cannot allow him to crash and break our air traffic control system. Look at what happened when he bought Twitter. It just started crashing.
What? No, it didn't. In fact, Twitter's had fewer outages since Elon Musk went through and trimmed the employment base. Elon Musk doesn't crash and burn everything he buys. In fact, the opposite. He's not perfect. He's a transhumanist who wants to put a computer chip in your head. He's probably an opportunist, and we need to pay very, very careful attention to his decision to try to buy OpenAI. Because I don't necessarily want him dominating the AI field while he works in the White House. But no, he doesn't break everything he touches. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. So-called Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley claims that Elon Musk has his grubby hands on Meemaw and Granddad's Social Security information.
That's right. Elon Musk is unelected, unaccountable. He's a greedy billionaire, self-interested with foreign entanglements. And he should not be accessing the American people's private information and data. You know, he's got his grubby hands on Meemaw and Granddad's Social Security information.
And he's going to do what with it? Go make a couple $100,000 defrauding Social Security? What exactly is he going to do? What he has discovered is the Social Security database for Social Security numbers is not deduplicated, meaning you may think you have a unique Social Security number, but you don't. Anyone who can use a software system to create randomized numbers can create Social Security numbers and use them, it appears. And then the Treasury will pay the bills because they don't deny payments, a system built to encourage fraud. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Julian Castro is a small-town elected official and an early DEI hire. He was named Secretary of HUD under Obama, and he claims that using Guantanamo Bay as a hub for housing illegal aliens while they're deported makes no sense. Oh, just by the way, in the 90s, the government used the facility to process and house and detain aliens from Haiti and Cuba.
It makes no sense. It's wasting taxpayer dollars. It's going to turn out to be cruel for the people who are there, and also going to, I think, wrap in people that are not criminals. And so all around, it's incompetence, it's cruelty, it's waste of dollars. It's everything that that voters should be upset about. And I think they are going to be upset about this as the truth about Guantanamo and the entire mass deportation effort comes more to light in the months ahead.
Okay. The truth being that we have been bringing people into this country en masse to change the Electoral College, and we've been paying for it with our federal tax dollars, and 21 left-leaning so-called blue states, in other words, system communist states, are suing to stop the deportation of illegal immigrants and to let them keep the money. They get paid money to coddle illegal immigrants. And they want their money. And they're going to find the judge who's going to say, yeah, you can't do that, President Trump. And they're going to precipitate a constitutional crisis, which is what they want. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
Can men get pregnant?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Define what a woman is.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
There are people who identify women as different genders who are capable of getting pregnant. That is my position on this. I am not going to feed more into the bigotry of that question.
That was the Tower of Babbling on a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I did not get to finish. I finished in the studio speaking out loud to myself, but no one heard it. I'm on Friday going to share with you the detailed experience I had when I went through the process of being delivered with the help of a deliverance pastor who I believe was the Lord Jesus worked through him. And the reason I believe that is, first of all, I know him to be a godly man. Secondly, the experience was deeply uncomfortable and then deeply comforting. And here's the most remarkable effect of this, is after going through this deliverance and understand that I was being hassled by and oppressed by demonic forces, it didn't mean that I turned into a bad person. I didn't go out and start, you know, robbing banks and beating people up and lying. I was still serving in the youth ministry. But you know what I wasn't in? I wasn't in joy. I did not go to church with a sense of joy. I went with a sense of duty. And praise God, I had the duty sense to go, I know I need to go to church. I know I need to meet near the Father. And I would read the word, but man, I didn't understand the nutritional value of it. Sometimes the word was hard for me to hear. But most disturbingly, I just had this consistent sense that I want to go home. Not suicidal or anything like that, but I want Jesus to take me now. No, yeah, I want to meet Jesus. But the thing that changed after the deliverance was this. I'm grateful. I am grateful for the life I have. I had stopped that. I'd stopped feeling gratitude. That's so obnoxious. I had stopped expressing gratitude to God for what he gives me now. Why then would he give me anything else? I think that the pain, the wrestling match I went through, led me to something now. I speak often of people who live in the world of theory versus application and how they can mess everything up because they're never really affected by their theories. I've talked a lot about spiritual warfare. Now I know what it feels like to come out of it and to look back and go, wow. Wow, I was hammered. And now I'm free. Praise God. I'll give you the details on Friday. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak, because he first loved us. We speak his Word, we walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God gives us permission to speak again together. May his peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.